Hey, y'all. Winning at Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome to the show this evening.
I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. What's your thoughts on what's going on over your shoulder?
I think it's some stuff that's
Tell
carried
them what we're talking
away.
About first.
Well, there's
the protesters that walked into the
peaceful
Capitol Hill lobby.
Protest, as I understood it. I've not watched any of it this thing. I've been pretty busy and I've been thinking about what I wanted to talk about on tonight's show. So I didn't get distracted by that. I heard somebody, and then I heard there was something where the Capitol building was stormed or something and a lady has been shot. So I don't have any other details on that, but it was kind of like, wow, this is a surprising. Well, it is just not normal times. We've had stuff going on in Portland, D.C., New York, Chicago, up in Wisconsin. And we've been listening to this stuff for months. And everybody needs to calm down. It's going to be fine. The world is not collapsing. It's not going. Your life is not going away. You know, the country's not going to collapse. And I'll give you some stats on why. But that's kind of my thoughts about what's going on. Just calm down. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, I almost think there's something wrong with me because not everyone, but so many people around me are so hysterical. And I mean, mostly people on TV and radio. I talk to my friends in person.
But you also forget about what happened 4 years ago. You think everybody was calm and took it well when Trump beat Hillary Clinton? No. They didn't take it well. So there was some disruption at that time too. But you know what? When you look back, the country's still here.
We'll be fine. In a week, no one will care about
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
In 2 days,
you know what?
No one will care about this.
The markets did good over the past 4 years. Yeah, we had a pandemic. And no, that wasn't caused by the president winning or Hillary not winning. You know, the pandemic was going to happen no matter what. You know, we have things that go on. Gold, it costs more. Interest rates, I think we reached above 1%. We'll get to the numbers later on that. But, you know, when you kind of look at it, let me see, did we get into any world war or anything ugly like that the past 4 years? No. See, things are fine. Maybe we built a wall that is wasted, you know, but you know what? It's still going to be fine.
Did you catch the tweet I sent you earlier? I found the graph of the day, and I don't, because I know I caught you in the middle of the day when you might have been busy.
Oh, I saw it. The
volatility index.
Yeah.
It was hilariously flat. I mean, it was at rock bottom all day. And then about 2:30 Eastern time, about the time they moved the barricades and the gravy seals or whoever it was walked into the Capitol lobby, it spiked straight up. It took off like a rocket. It was a hockey stick graph. So I thought that was hilarious, the volatility index.
Yeah, and that was just a brief panic buy it as well. It's not going to be any disruption. And the president, Trump, will vacate the White House. Biden is going to be sworn in. I honestly don't see how that's going to change there.
People love being hysterical. They love getting upset, Gregory. They love it. It's the new American pastime. It's finding something to be outraged about.
And it's going to be fine.
Relax. You sound crazy.
All right. Yeah, that's what I think.
I'm interested in your graph, and I'm interested in the highlighted stuff you have on that page to your right. Where are we going with this?
Man, I've got a lot of stuff here. But one thing I wanted to start with, and we've talked about this many times regarding the campaign coming up, when it was coming up, and that's past now. It is done. There's no more runoffs or anything. There might be some stuff contested here and there.
There's two seats in New York State that haven't been called yet. That's it.
Yeah, so it's minor stuff, but we know how the lay of the land is going forward. So we're going to have a Democratic president, we're going to have a Democrat House, and we're going to have a Democrat Senate. And I'm going to tell you what I think about that. I think it's going to last for 2 years. Because, well, look, the Republicans picked up more seats. So those that are on the Democratic side, yeah, you've still got the House. You've got the whole three branches. But I'm talking about the White House and Congress. So you've got all of that and won. And you can feel good about it. Those that like are upset that like, gosh, that Senate should be ours and the White House should be ours. Well, that power, I believe, will shift some in 2 years. And here's kind of why. When I look at how political parties in power influence markets, and this is a Hartford research piece that I've used, and the sources are Senate government, House gov, congressional sessions that run 2 years. The House became Republican, you know, so we've got this, and the Hartford kind of put this piece together I'm using. But when I kind of go recent history from 1977 to 1979, Jimmy Carter had a Democrat Senate and House. And from 1979 to 1981, guess what Jimmy Carter had? Democrat Senate, Democrat House. How many years was he president? Y'all know, 4 years. And he had it all together that 4 years. And I didn't think he was a very good president, but neither did the voters because he was voted out. And did just everything go horribly wrong and collapse and become unfixable after 4 years of that? No. But I'll tell you what, he's kind of the rare one where he actually had that his whole term. When you think about it, he had it all under the same party. So then you get to Bill Clinton. He was president for 8 years. How many years did he have it as under the same party, his party, which was Democrat?
You asked me to guess?
Well, I think you know the answer.
Yeah.
But it was 93 to 95. He had it for 2 years. Otherwise, it was split after that. That's 8 years, and he's a pretty popular president. But only 2 years of the eight, he had it all under one party. Then in 2003 to 2005, you had George W. Bush have it all Republican. And then from 2005 to 2007, why do I give it 2 year groups? It's because the House of Representatives has voting members every 2 years. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to pick up and continue this, and I'll give you my analysis. Winning at Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome back. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe it's about your pension, diversifying your money, how to create wealth. What about taxes? You can join the conversation, 504-260-0995. And, you know, we're talking about, you've heard what I said in the first segment, you know, the two Senate seats in Georgia were called that the Democrats won. Those races were called. So we've got a Republican House, Republican Senate. I'm backwards on it. You didn't catch that. Democrat House, Democrat Senate, and Biden is the Democrat president-elect. And people are probably, am I going to be paying too much in taxes? Well, I've got a download for you. If you'd want some information and start exploring that, maybe have a conversation with my team at my day job. It's GregoryRicks.com/TooMuch, T-O-O, much. So reach out to us and get yourself some help there. So what I was covering when we went to the break is how political parties and power influence markets. So I was going with the timing. And we had talked about Jimmy Carter had 4 years as president, and he had basically the House and Senate at all the same party as his for his 4 years of presidency. That is such a rare thing. Bill Clinton, of his 8 years, only had 2 years, 1993 to 1995. George W. Bush was president for 8 years, and he had that from 2003 to 2005 and 2005 to 2007. So he didn't have it the whole time either. And those that didn't like him as president, and you know what? I know there's a lot of people. I've met a bunch of people that just totally did not like George W. Bush. And did we get ruined during that time? I say we didn't. Barack Obama, how long was he president? It's an easy one.
Eight years.
That's recent history. 8 years. He had, of course, he's a Democrat president, Democrat House, Democrat Senate from 2009 to 2011. Yeah.
But we had people saying, oh, the economy's not going to survive if he gets elected. Then they said the economy's not going to survive if he gets reelected. And here we are, 10 years, 12, 8 years later. We're all right. Doing fine.
Well, the one-year average during, and I'm not sure how this breakdown is. I guess year one was 26.46% for Barack Obama. The three-year S&P 500 average return was 14.12%. And I can pick on the others, but the only negative one, when we go back on these years that I covered back through Jimmy Carter, the first year, year one was negative, was minus 7.19%. The three-year average was 5.41%. So it wasn't catastrophic, but there's a negative year. That second set Jimmy Carter had was 18.45 on year one of the next, but the three-year average was 14.27. George W. Bush had 28.68 on the 1 year, 14.39 on the average. So there's nothing ugly there in these numbers. And by the way, I was having dinner this evening and conversation came up and little surprise was here that Donald Trump had a Republican House and Republican Senate during his first 2 years as president from 2017 through 2019. And they were like, what? Really? And I said, yeah. And looking back, you know, I'm kind of bored. He got a good bit of stuff done, but did he and Congress get a lot done?
No.
No.
But the great reminder of that situation is you don't really have a majority in the Senate until you have 60 votes, because the filibuster can still stop anything you want to do.
Yeah. So, great point there. But, you know, where they're all worried, but, oh, y'all've got such control. And this is examples here. And I'd say I covered, you know, from 1977 to present there, you know, not all those were popular, all favor. I didn't like all of them myself. Now I can go much deeper in history, but when we go from 1937 to present, the 1 year returns based on having the same party in the House, that was average of 12.9% on historicals. The 3 year average was 12.14. So out of 19 years that, I'm not going to go over this summary because I'm not sure what all those numbers say, but I what I'm getting at is that it's going to be fine. And the way I look at this, yeah, it's 2 years. What, where we're at, you know what? It's 2 years. And from the history I've looked at here, you know, it's the odds are pretty good that they're not going to hold it beyond 2 years. And I'll even go to the House was really narrowed. The Democrats had more seats up until this election. So it really narrowed. They barely have a majority over in the Senate, right? It's not like some overwhelming number.
It's 50-50, so Kamala's the tiebreaker.
Yes, right. That is it, is the vice president is the tiebreaker. So they don't have some dominant control. They are in control, but once again, it is 2 years. So if they don't do a good job with this, you know what the voters are going to do? Say, yeah, we gave y'all a chance, but we're going to make some changes, and they're going to vote for some changes there. And that's what expect to happen. Yeah, the president, yeah, he's going to be in for 4 years. The House gets voted on every 2 years. Senators get 6 years. So it's kind of a mix, and they're not all cycling out at one time, you know, except the House. That's a lot of voting that goes on every 2 years there. But I just want you to calm down somewhat on this and look at when I go back to ugly years, you know, taking a 3 year average return that was negative, I have to go back to Franklin D. Roosevelt's time from 1937 to 1941. We had some negative years in there on the 3 year average, you know, it was some tough times going from the back end of the Great Depression up to World War I.
Two.
That's what I meant, World War II. And so that carried him actually from 1937 through 1943. The war didn't help him on that at all as far as 1 year returns. And then we had two other, Dwight D. Eisenhower had a negative 1 year return when he had, you know, the Republican House and Senate. And then Jimmy Carter had a negative. But, you know, out of all that, the rest are positive out there. And, you know, and where people think this is like, oh my gosh, this is going to go bad. Here's a couple things you can do. If you've got, and we were a look on the S&P 500 last year, 2020, as crazy as 2020 was, the S&P 500 gained 18.4%. If you're worried about like, oh my gosh, the market's going to go back. I've had people come like, oh my gosh, I need to go to cash. I had a discussion with somebody today and, you know, I really need to go to cash. And I said, I'm not putting you to cash. And I'm going to explain why in a minute, some stats that I gave. But I said, look, you want to get more conservative? That's fine. We can transition you there. But you don't want to miss out and have your money not working. You know, from a bond index, and I said, look, use our balanced income portfolio. That basically is bond ETFs. The taxable bond market was up 7.5% in 2020 total return, and has gained 7.6% per year total return over the last 40 years. The S&P 500 has gained an average of 10.9% per year total return over the last 50 years. Yes, there's negative years in there, but you know what? It always comes back. So what I was getting at, one of the things you should look at is how you're blended, how you're diversified in asset classes. And if you're up in your stocks 18%, maybe you need to rebalance. Maybe you need to take some of those winnings and shift to bonds. Or you might say, well, I'm going to take 15% of my holdings and move it to money market, increase cash. That's what you're needing to be more like doing instead of like, I'm running for the hills. What you need to think more about is what is your risk tolerance? You know, there's going to be a pullback. We had one back in March. We have those like every 1.84 years. There is a pullback coming back, and then it's going to take back off again. That's what it does based on historicals. And if you want to soften that, then don't be in all stocks or all equities like that, and create some balance and take some of those wins off the table and place them elsewhere. That will help you. And Democrats have it for 2 years. It's going to be fine. How much can they ruin?
Yeah,
I don't think very much.
I don't think it's time to get out of the pool. Maybe we should have a discussion on what rebalancing means at a time like this. All right, if you got a question, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. I run a financial firm on my day job. Every day that the market's open, we're open. I was asked about Martin Luther King Day today that one of the employees said, you know, I see on the calendar, the market's closed. Are we closed? I said, absolutely. I said, it's a holiday, isn't it? Martin Luther King is a holiday. And coincidentally, the market is closed, so therefore, we are closed. We're always closed on market holidays, no matter what falls or somebody's opinion of whatever holiday, we are closed in that case. So I don't know where I was going, why that came up all of a sudden at that point. But I think those things are important. And you know what? Where I was going is employees do keep an eye on that for me in case I was to miss it, keep my head down working like, oh, there's a holiday. I said, yeah, but it's not next Monday, is it? No, it's the Monday after. I said, good, because I was wanting to have a team meeting all together on Monday with get all my employees together. And this has been a rare thing since COVID started. I said, good. So that holiday is the Monday after, which that's cool. We got a 3-day weekend coming up. So I'm excited about that 3-day weekend. I like those. Okay. So I was talking about how everything's going to be fine. The Dems have it for 2 years, and the voters get to have their say again in 2 years. Historicals, for the most part, show us it's highly likely that the voters are going to readjust that control in 2 years. So we'll see. So, and I'll say the voters wanted them to see this. And I know some of you have some disagreements. Did the voters really say? I'm not here to debate that. But that is how it's going to be the next 2 years, is the vote tells us that's how it's going to be. And that's how people are being sworn in, elected, election is called. So it's 2 years of that. But will they have it longer? Like, how much can they do in 2 years? I don't think that much. Everybody's worried about what Trump was going to do. Well, he didn't get much done from a standpoint of creating law that changes. I'll tell you the one thing I remember he did get done during that first 2 years, he lowered taxes, raised the standard deduction, adjusted the tax brackets, and pretty much everybody across the board received lower taxes. He made it permanent tax reductions for corporations. So he did get that done, and I'd say job well done on that. I don't mind lower taxes, but on the individual side, that is not permanent. That's actually a temporary tax that's going to expire in 10 years. And if you think you might be paying too much, we've got a big emphasis at my firm on tax efficiency, some analysis that we can do for you. We take you 1040 and look at a lot of scenarios to do some planning ahead for you. And if you want a brochure and find out more about that, GregoryRicks.com/too much, T-O-O, much. Okay, so where am I at here on that? I've got a couple points. We were talking about rebalancing, and this is the process of realigning the weightings of a portfolio of assets. Rebalancing involves periodically buying or selling assets in a portfolio to maintain an original desired level of asset allocation or risk, or say an original target asset allocation was 50% stocks and 50% bonds. And if stocks grew more than bonds, then you're allocated in stocks more than 50%. So you have to readjust that. So sell some of those stocks, buy some bonds to get back to 50-50. And this is what we're talking about, where we do that as a firm, or looking at that. And I think we're actually preparing, well, I know we are preparing for a rebalance and to take some gains off the table. So when we look at the S&P 500, once again, it gained 18.4% total return during 2020, the 13th year in the last 25 years that the 33.4 trillion index has returned at least 15% total return for the calendar year. The S&P 500's gained an average of 10.9% per year total return over the last 50 years. The index has, once again, this is the S&P 500, the index has been positive in 16 of the last 18 years. If you're only, you're saying, you know, I only wanted to put this money to work for 1 year, then it shouldn't have been put there. And you shouldn't have it all in the S&P 500. I always remind my team, is like somebody comes to you and says, yeah, I've got $100,000. I just sold this property. I've got $100,000 freed up. I'd like to invest it and put it to work, but I may need it in a year to go buy something else. Well, we don't want that money. Leave it at the bank, and don't let the banker invest it either. That's short-term money. So then I get these questions, like, Gregory, you know, I'm really worried about this government and what's going on. I need to get out the market. Oh, let me go back to this. I got a couple neat stats here, actually, on that. My number one thought is the problem with that. That's why you should, maybe you need to readjust your allocations. And if you were 50-50, 50% stocks, 50% bonds, maybe you need to reduce that 50% of stocks and increase the bonds, or cash there, but you might need to reduce that risk. But one of the problems with exiting everything, the total return of the S&P 500 over the last 30 years from 1991 through 2020 was a gain of 10.7% total return. If you miss the best 24 percentage gains over the last 30 years, that 10.7% annual return falls to 5.3% annual gain. That's pretty darn impactive on your return. It slices you in half by missing those days. Because do you know when those days are going to be? You're going to jump back in the day before and get those? No, you're not. Okay, let's do the flip side. Because what are you trying to avoid? You're trying to avoid the worst days. The total return for the S&P 500 over the last 30 years was a gain of 10.7% total return. If you avoided the 24 worst percentage days over the last 30 years, that 10.7% annual gain rises to 17.1%. You crushed it. You did it. You avoided all those 24 worst days. What's the chance of that happening? Because that means you missed the worst days, but you captured those big up days, those 24 of the best days. It's not going to happen. And that's why you can't go and pull everything back out. You can do more about dialing it back. So I think that is a valid point on that because of the discussion I had today is like, you just can't do that. Then I had somebody else ask me a question kind of randomly. They saw me and said, hey, by the way, why on a day like today is this market going up? Well, the market doesn't seem to have a problem with what's going on and that there's a Democrat president, Democrat Senate, Democrat House. But yeah, there's a good bit of stimulus money out there too. And that stimulus money's not worried about it. And that stimulus money has to be put somewhere. So we keep propping up the market. But there is a pullback coming. And that's why you need to reblend, or technical term investors use is rebalance.
So I'm looking at my rebalance situation. And I like the idea of you really don't want to be all invested at all times. You want to have 10, maybe 20% in cash, or if things have gotten really sour, you know, and you're just peeling off
profits. Well, you could have a good bit less in cash, but I'm almost the belief that you kind of always got to have 3 to 5% somewhere in that range of minimum. It can increase at times subject to your feelings and what you're needing to do.
But I'm thinking just peel off those profits, put it back to cash, and not even really do a whole rebalance, just kind of.
Yeah, you can simply. Well, peeling off, that is a rebalance of getting, in a sense, getting back and getting some to cash. Winning at Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. Let me see. Spitalis.
You went to Spitalis Deli again?
Yeah, I was trying to pull it up here. Spitalis Deli and Catering. Good friend of mine. His family has that. They have a couple of stores. But over in Metairie, they're having lunch today at Spitalis Deli. And I tell you what, it's just like home-cooked food. Today I had that roast beef. And you know why it's so good? Because it's so messy. Like me, I always tell them, give me like 20 napkins when you serve that to me. And this is their location I was at. It was over in Metairie at 3309 Division Street, kind of alongside. Division runs alongside, I believe, Barnes and Noble there. And their website is spitalisdeli.com. Go get you some good food over there and tell Gerald that Gregory sent you. And another thing, here's on the side of what I, great food. I love great food. But, you know, there's something I have a dislike for, mosquitoes. And, you know, one of our show sponsors is Mosquito Joe. And look, people, I use them year round and they were out. They treated my property the other day. Yeah, it's cold outside. You say, there's not mosquitoes. Well, you know what? They're lurking around, in my opinion. And these other annoying critters, I feel it keeps them away, even though they don't say that. I think there's a good effect. So neworleans.mosquitojoe.com and 504-208-2361. Give them a call. Give them a try.
I want to start taking a look at what taxes are going to be like this year. I'm a little self-serving here. I got the email from my mortgage service provider. It's Wells Fargo. I don't know why I'm being so cryptic about it. But if the,
well, that's not our problem that you use them. Just messing with you.
I don't know. Plus or minus. Mortgage I've ever had.
They're all good.
So they sent me the papers. Hey, here's all the tax documents you're going to need to file. You know, how much interest you paid because it's a write-off and yada, yada. So I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I just looked around and realized it's tax season. I know it's in today, the Feast of the Epiphany, and we're supposed to be getting a king cake. So I'm getting my seasons overlapped here. This is the beginning of tax season for me because I just got my first tax documents. But 2020.
Yeah, it's January.
2020 taxes. Let's talk about how weird this is going to be because for the first time in many Americans' history, they got an unemployment check. And do you have to pay taxes on your unemployment checks, yes. Gregory? Yeah. Yes. Do they automatically withhold taxes on your unemployment?
No.
No. They can if you ask them.
Who asked them to do that on unemployment? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm scared to death. I need it all.
Well, yeah, but can you withhold 20% so I don't get a big tax bill next year? That's probably not on top on their mind. That's a good point. But a bunch of people are about to find that out the hard way. These relief checks, those payments that we got that were $1,200 per adult, $500 per child. Do we have to be taxed on that? No, that's actually an advance on the tax credit you're going to get on this year's return somewhere. So we'll go into this more in depth. We have Jude Heath on, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, and that's exactly what we're going to talk to him about. In the meantime, if you need the services of a financial advisor, start your search with Gregory. Go to gregoryricks.com or call his office, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.